So one begins to see that one's choice as among these different religions is already rather restricted. You can't be converted to, you can't choose an ethnic religion. In a sense, it has to choose you, in the sense that you have to be born into it. So therefore, if one wants to make a choice, one is really, in effect, confined to the universal religions. Because universal religions are religions which are explicitly preached, not to the people of one country, not to the people of one race or one ethnic group, but potentially to people all over the world, to men simply as human beings. That's why they're called universal religions. Sometimes they're called founded religions, because they all go back to individual founders. Sometimes they are called missionary religions, because they all go out and try, as it were, to convert other people, or at least to explain themselves to other people all over the world. So it would seem, therefore, that in one's choice, among these various religions, these 11 religions, one is in effect confined to the universal religions. One hasn't really the capacity, one might say, to choose one or another of the ethnic religions. Now, the universal religions to which our choice in practice is narrowed down are only three in number. That is, Buddhism, Christianity, and Islam. So if this question of choice arises at all, practically speaking, concretely speaking, it really means making a choice between these three religions, either being a Buddhist or being a Christian or being a Muslim. Theoretically, you can wish to embrace Taoism or Confucianism, but that's all theoretical or abstract. In concrete, practical terms, only Buddhism, Christianity, and Islam. And among these, one must choose. Now, if we look at these three great universal religions, Buddhism, Christianity, and Islam, we find that they in turn divide themselves into two groups. One group having two religions in it, the other having one religion in it. One group is the group of the theistic religions, of theistic universal religions. The other the group of the non-theistic universal religion. Theos, as you know, means God. That is a personal God, a supreme being, creator of the universe. So theistic means pertaining to belief in such a God, or theos. Now, Christianity and Islam are both of them systems of theism. They both posit, or they both accept, a personal God, a supreme being, a creator of the entire universe, governor of the entire universe. So, Christianity, Islam are both theistic religions. And the fact that they are such, we may say, affects their whole nature and their whole character. Now, Buddhism, on the other hand, the sole representative of the non-theistic universal religions, is non-theistic. In other words, in Buddhism, there's no place for a personal God, a supreme being, or a creator. And in the same way that the fact that Christianity and Islam are theistic affects the whole character, the whole nature, the whole structure of these two religions, in the same way, the fact that Buddhism is non-theistic affects its or character, nature, and structure also. Now, I don't want to labour this particular point of theism and non-theism, because I've already dealt with it, or touched upon it, in a number of talks and lectures previously, in the course of the last year or so. But I would say that this is really the basic issue. In other words, the issue of theism, or theistic religion, versus non-theism or non-theistic religion. Now, at present, so far as this talk is concerned, I'm not arguing the respective merits of these two positions. I'm not trying to decide or determine whether theism represents the truth or whether non-theism represents the truth. So far, I'm being merely descriptive. But the fact is that Christianity and Islam are theistic religions, and Buddhism is a non-theistic religion.